Rabosa, if you don't mind, let's just review what we did yesterday very quickly, and then try to add the next piece. So we had a long discussion here about Bishal Achar Bishal in Basar B'Chalav. We hope to come back to this again and again, but let's just summarize some of the conclusions we came to yesterday. And basically, we saw three shitas. Rabbeinu Gershon was of the opinion that Ein Bishal Achar Bishal applies to Basar B'Chalav. The Shilta Giborim was of the opinion that Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal B'Basar B'Chalav. But here, within the context of these two shitos, there's a lot of room for what we might call a compromise shita. It means that in certain cases, which I'll explain in just a second, we're going to apply the principle of Rabbeinu Gershon of Ein Bishal Achar Bishal B'Basar B'Chalav. In other cases, we're going to say Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal. And the key is, what do you have as a result of the first Bishal? And there are many different scenarios. But if we oversimplify it, if you have Basar B'Chalav as a result of the first Bishal, that means you took the meat, you took the milk, you cooked it together. Now you have this entity which is called Basar B'Chalav, and you recook it. That's where we could say Ein Bishal Achar Bishal. But if you mevashel the meat separately, or alternatively the chalav separately, and now you're cooking them together, that's where we could be more inclined to accept the sheet of the Shilta Giborim and say Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal, insofar as you're creating a new entity of Basar B'Chalav. And if in the Moreshes Moshe, which we looked at yesterday, I thought the key, you know, the most important words were here on the top left when he says that Hecha Shehi Bishal Es HaBasar V'Chalav Kol Echa B'Nifrad V'Chazar B'Bishal B'Yachad Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal. Again, if you want to know who the names are, you know, who maintains this, you have to look through his long list of achronim, which I'm not going to go through now. It starts with the Prima Gadim, the Chassam Sofer, and it goes on and on and on. But when are we going to apply the principle of Ein Bishal Achar Bishal? Is Kevan Shed Bishlam Yachad, if he already cooked them together, that's a different story. But if he cooked them separately, and now he's cooking them together, even though each one independently unto itself was already cooked, now he says, look at his language, Kahai Gavna Yesh Bishal Kevan Shah Bishal Chidesh Tam Zebazeh. Which I think means, again, we could talk about the mitzias of Nesinas Tam when he puts the meat and the milk together, but I think the conceptual breakthrough here is that now he's creating a new entity called Basar B'Chalav. That's called Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal, because in the first Bishal, or for that matter, the first Bishal and the second Bishal, one for Basar, one for Chalav, he did not have an entity of Basar B'Chalav. So those were the three sheep. So that's what we have. Again, we're going to come back to this in Mirtz Hashem again and again, but I think it's important. Now let me go on to the main subject of our discussion today, and that's the issue of Gzeirah L'Gzeirah. So we're talking about a Mishnah at the beginning of Kol HaBasar, which prohibits putting Basar Oath and Cholav, or in the case of the Mishnah it says Gvina, on the same table that you're eating from. And that's prohibited. Clearly, midrabbana, the Torah never says also lahalos basar v'chalav al shulchan echa. Now, the Mishnah, when it addresses the Isra Allah, it formulates it in terms of kol habasar. Now, the phrase kol habasar includes even basar oaf. Here we have machlokes where the basar oaf is doraisa or midrabbana. Let's go according to Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says that our Mishnah reflects the Shita Rabbi Akiva, that Basar Oaf is Durabbana. So we ask the following question. This question is Rav Yosef's question. And he says the following, that you're afraid if he puts the Basar Oaf and the Chalav on the same table, he might come to eat the Chalav. I'm sorry. He might come to eat Basar B'Chalav together. That's what I meant to say. Well, what happens in the worst case scenario if he eats the basar together with the chalav? It's basar oaf. And basar oaf is the rabbana. So Rav Yosef gets up and he says to Rav Ashi, you must assume by process of logical elimination, that our Mishnah must be holding that Basar Of Becholov is Doraisa. If you don't agree with me that Basar Of Becholov is Doraisa against Rabbi Akiva, and therefore Basar Of Becholov itself is a Gzera, because if I allow you to eat Basar Of Becholov, you'll come tomorrow to eat Basar Behema Becholov and violate the Isur Doraisa, then how do you justify the Isur Halah of Basar Of Becholov, when halah is a gzera otu achila, and achila itself is only a gzera, in this case of of otu behem? That's the question of Rav Yosef. What I'd like to study with you today is Rav Yosef's proof from the Mishnah in Chal. Rav Yosef says, mina tamra. How do I know that ein goes from gzera to gzera? And he brings a Mishnah in Chal. But before we get to that, so what did we raise yesterday? Yesterday, we tried to address the question of what's the machlokas here between Rav Yosef and Abaye. Abaye says to Rav Yosef, no, our Mishnah reflects the shita of Rabbi Akiva that Basar Of Becholov is Derabbanan. And all of the Mefarshim Pei Echad, we'll see it inside today, they maintain that Abaye agrees that Ein goes from Gzera to Gzera. That principle of Ein goes from Gzera to Gzera is fundamental, and it's rooted in many, many sugyas in Shas. We never found anyone who disagrees. So what happens here is, according to Abaye, if you're making one Gzera, and then you're instituting another Gzera, and the second Gzera is enacted in order to avoid a violation of the first Gzera, that's called Ein Gozrin Gzera L'Gzera. But in this case, says Abaye, we're not talking about one Gzera and then on top of it, we're going to piggyback a second Gzera on top of the first Gzera.
You are right with that,
that's not the case. What does it mean that Abaye holds that halah al gabi shulchan was included in the Isra Achila? When you put something on the table, why do you put something on the table? Again, you're eating off this table. And by putting something on the table, you are establishing that this is going to be a nechal. You're going to eat this. So Abaye says that if we're going to prohibit you from eating basar of becholov, then we're going to include within that halah al gabi shulchan. Mm-hmm. Rav Yosef is going to prove that that's not true from the Mishnah Chala, that the Mishnah Chala is going to allow you to put on the Shulchan Chalas Chutz Laretz, even though Chalas Chutz Laretz is Asur to a Zayr. And the institution of Zoros, or the Isur Zoros in Chalas Chutz Laretz, is itself a Gzera to Chalas Eretz Yisrael. But nevertheless, we will. So Chalas Chutz Laretz again is an Isur to a Zar, but nevertheless we're going to allow you to put on the Shulchan Chalas Chutz Laretz. And we're not going to say, well, he may eat Chalas Chutz Laretz if you put it on the Shulchan, and if he eats Chalas Chutz Laretz, he may come to eat Chalas Eretz Yisrael. That far we don't go. So Rabbi Yosef is going to prove from Chalas Chutz Laretz that there's no such deal that when the Rabbanan Asra Achila, they include what? They include Halah in Achila. No, it's two separate Gzeros. One gzera is achila, and achila is an iser per se. And then you talk about halah, atu, achila, that's a violation of the principle of gzera l'gzera, and I'll prove it to you from the Mishnah in Chala. Comes along Abaye, and he says, no, when you aser achila, you aser halah together with achila. We're going to see this in Mitzvah in Rashi. It's not clear in Rashi, but I think if we read Rashi carefully, that's what Rashi has in mind. So then Rav Yosef turns to Abaye and he says, that's not true. You can't convince me that halah is part of the gzera of achila. It's not so. Achila is l'chud and halah l'chud. And if that being the case, that halah is atu achila, achila itself is atu behema, and therefore you cannot justify an iser halah atu achila unless the achila that you're worried about is an achila doraisa. It's an iser doraisa in the case of Oath. Meaning, Rabbi Yosef holds that our Mishnah must be holding that Isra Achilas Oath Becholov is Doraisa against Rabbi Akiva. Now we can understand and justify Halah. Comes along and Abaye says, Nay, Oath is Derabbanan. If Oath is Derabbanan, how can we add and tag on an Isra Allah atu of? That itself is a gzera l'gzera. The answer is that the original gzera of what? Of achilas basar of included halah as well. Which means that halah should never be viewed as a separate gzera, but rather it's a built-in gzera to the gzera of achila. Achila equals halah, halah equals achila. Because the moment you're putting it on the table for the purpose of achila, consider as if you're eating it. So therefore it's included in the Isra Achila. So Isra Allah and Isra Achila are not two separate entities, but rather one entity. Now Abai is going to have to face the music, because the Mishnah Chala says Pogfaker, that we're going to ask for the Achila, but not the Halah. Why? Because Halah was not included in the Gzera of Achila. Now all this is based on a principle which is called Litzarko or Shalom Litzarko. What do I mean? So yesterday we gave out a paragraph from the Eretz HaTzvi. Do you have that paragraph? Let me get it out for myself. If I can find it, of course. I know it's
mine.
All right, so I'll give it right back. He says the following. Very interesting concept. Litzorach and shelo litzorach. I mean, that terminology is literally borrowed from a whole different world, but he applies it here. And he says the following. When Chachamim aser gzera, because they're afraid that if you do X, you'll come to do Y, that's called Litzorach. So for example, if, again, in this article he doesn't address this, but if the Chachamim say that for us to allow you to eat basar of b'cholav, that's a very dangerous situation. The Torah allows it, but we can't allow it, because we realize that today you'll be eating chicken with milk, tomorrow you'll be eating meat with milk. You can't make that distinction. So that's called litzorach. There's a pressing, urgent need for the Chachamim to institute this gzera. So it's very interesting. You know, on the one hand, v'asu mishmeres l'mishparati asu siyog l'torah, that's a mitzvah. But on the other hand, it's also an Isur. Do you follow what I mean? It needs a matir. Some mitzvahs need a matir. Again, don't listen to what I'm about to say now. I'm just talking to myself. Just close your ears. The Rav used to say that the mitzvah of tefillah needs a matir. I can't just pray in front of the Almighty God. I need a matir for that. So sometimes, even a mitzvah needs a matir. The Rav at one point says that every mitzvah needs a matir. Who am I to appoint myself as the shliach of the Ribbono Shel Olam to fulfill God's will in this world? So the birchas ha-mitzvah is a matir for any mitzvah. Okay, I'm just talking to myself now. What about the mitzvah of instituting a gzerah? The Torah addresses the chachamim and authorizes them to institute a gzerah. That needs a matir. Why? Because the Torah says there are 613 mitzvahs. Right, and how many of them are Isurim? If I'm not mistaken, 365, is that the number? Okay, whatever it is, Shasa Losa says. Now you want to add another Isur. Who are you? What a chutzpah naira. The Torah says, don't eat meat, meaning basar behema, with cholav. And now you're going to say, well, don't eat basar of with cholav. Ah, chutzpah naira. It's not bad enough that we have 365 Isurim? You get it? So for that you need something called litzarko. Again, that's not the language of Rav Shekel, but that's how that's how we should formulate it. Now, we said that it's a very dangerous situation if you can allow eating basar of becholav, because tomorrow he's going to eat basar behema becholav. Okay, that's litzarko. You have to make that gzera. But now you're going to tell me, well, don't put basar of on the same table with basar with cholav, because he may come to violate what? The gzera of basar of becholav. That's already shalom litzarko. I'd come. These are the limits, the outer limits of the license granted to the Chacham, the authority to make another gzera.
Right.
Yeah.
Why did they assume that this is a gzera of gzera, or rather than when they make a gzera, when the Chacham make a gzera, they make it ka'en d'oraisa. And since the gzera, since the oraisa, basar halah or basar is aser, So therefore, when they made the gzera on Sarov, they made her kein d'oraisa.
Okay, good. We'll come to that too with Mitzvah Shem. But right now, we're assuming that the solution to the problem of gzera l'gzera in the case of halal is because we're going to build it into the isra achila of oath. Now you're talking about building it into the isra halal in the case of Basar Behema. We're going to get to that too in your session. I'm just going step by step. Right now I just want to set the framework and the understanding for why are we so inhibited? Eight goes with gzera l'gzera. You know, why not say you have one gzera and another gzera and another gzera? You know, call a marba raisin meshuba. The answer is no, because we don't want gzeros. We don't want to institute new isurim. I mean, you know, we used to joke about it when I was young about the chumra of the week. You know what I mean? We're not in favor of the chumra of the week. You want to take on new chumras? Who told you? Maybe that's vechsekiyura. You know, die because that we have these isurim. Let's see how good you are at upholding these isurim. So then we need an urgent need for gzera, and that's called litzora. But now you want to add another gzera on top of the first gzera because you're afraid that if you do X, you'll come to violate Y, and Y itself is a gzera to Z. That's already too far removed, and that's not considered litzora.
I may have had too much coffee, but I can think of two ways as you were saying this. Okay, Chachamim can decide to be, they made a gzera, now they're afraid that somebody will violate this gzera and then make a gzera for it, or they're afraid if you do this, then you violate the gzera, and then you'll end up violating the daraisa.
I didn't catch the difference between A and B.
Okay, in other words,
it sounded very similar.
Okay. Would the Chachamim be alarmed that if you're mala, aif, and milk on the table, you might get to eat it? That will alarm them, or they don't really care about that. They're just afraid you'll get to eat it, and then you'll get to eat the basar bakar with this. In other words, are you concerned?
I don't see the difference. I'll tell you why. Because let's assume the second way, the latter way, right? Yeah. But that's not within the purview of the Chachamim. Don't tell
me. They just can't do it.
They can't do it?
I got it.
Okay. They're straitjacketed. They need this matter called litzor. So litzor means take a pu'ul and say, you know, we're in a very dangerous situation. We allow this pu'ul, you're going to come to violate a doraisa. But once you've done that, don't try to protect the pu'ul and say, from that pu'ul you get to this pu'ul, to that pu'ul. There's no chadganya over here. You know, there's no domino theory. We can't stretch it beyond. That's called shalom litzor. And this he quotes in the name of Yitzchak Chanan. To my mind, this was fascinating. This was fantastic. This like, it began to put things into perspective. I just tell you the way I feel about it. Now Rabbi Yitzchak Elkanah wants to say that Shvus to Shvus is a whole different entity. Remember we started yesterday and we said that Shvus to Shvus, if it's Shalom Litzarach Mitzvah, if it's Shalom Litzarach Cholef, it's not oppressing, it's awesome. Why not say that Shvus to Shvus is Gzera L'Gzera? Now the answer becomes absolutely crystal clear. Because you're telling me that Gzera L'Gzera straitjackets the Rabbanon and says that this is not Litzorach. Gzera L'Gzera is not Litzorach. There's no matir. That's what I'm using that terminology for my own brain. But in the case of Shvus, the Shvus, I don't need a matir. Every Shvus is meaningful unto itself. I can give you a list of 50 Shvusim, and each one was established because of its very close relationship to a violation of Melecha Shabbos. If we allow this, then it's doma, it's very similar, and you're rubbing shoulders with a violation of a Melecha Doraisa. It could be that in certain situations we may find an overlap of two shvusim, and that lechora has nothing to do with goes from gzera l'gzera, because we're no longer looking for a matir. We're no longer looking for some justification for establishing a double shvus, because it's not a double shvus. I'll read to you the language. He says the following. He says that b'makom shenhinhigu chachamim shnei isurim d'rabbanan, that's he's describing shvus to shvus, that's inyan acher legami. That's not the same as gzera l'gzera. Why? Kol echad, each one of these isurim b'fnei atzmo hunag l'shem chashash shema yavru ha'am ha'isa d'oraisa. So again, we don't have to justify these two isurim d'rabbanan which were established by the Rabbanan, because each one in each case they're abundant at an urgent need. If we allow you to do X, you'll come to violate an Issur D'oraisa. Ubimikre, in one particular scenario, mitztarfim yachad shnei ha'isurim, there's an overlap. He calls it a coincidental overlap of these two Issurim. That's called a shvus, the shvus. That's not a gzera l'gzera. And at this point, we're ready for Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So Ad Kan, we have the Ber Yitzchak, and now we have Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger is trying to understand the sheet of Rava against Abaye in Masechta Shabbos Daf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph, going on to Yud Aleph Amid Beis. The Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph establishes that a Chayat is not allowed to leave Erev Shabbos, leave his private domain with a Machat, since it's Samuch L'Shabbos. Now again, I'm not entering into all the details of the sugya. Don't ask me what Samuch L'Shabbos means. You have to go through the sugya. But it's close enough to Shabbos that he may mistakenly, if you allow him on this particular occasion, go out with a Machat later on next Shabbos. You know, next Erev Shabbos, instead of looking at his clock to verify that it's before Shabbos, he may carry it out into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks the following. What happens if the Chayat wants to take out the Machat, Somach L'Chashecha, but not on Erev Shabbos, excuse me, but not into a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, he wants to take it into a Karmelis. So the Gemara quotes a machlokas between Rava and Abaye in this case. Hotzavir Sayachin into a Karmelis is a Shvus Rabbanan. The Rabbanan were afraid that you'll confuse a Karmelis and a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Hotzas hamachat al yidei achayat somach l'chashecha is a shvus, because it's somach l'chashecha, next week he'll do it after chashecha. And now we have an overlap of two shvusim. Rabbi Olson, do you see that? What happens is that the chayat somach l'chashecha wants to take out his machat into what? Into a karmelis. So Rabbi says it's also, because he's not doing a litzarech mitzvah, he's not doing a litzarech chole, and shvus to shvus, shalom makom tzorech, is awesome. Rava says it's mutter. So Rav Akiva Eiger, and this you'll see on page, maybe the page numbers are not so clear, but if you flip the page, just 1 second, now I don't see it. Haloshitas avayit sodekes, I never would have used that language, okay. So if Shechta says Abai is right and Rav is wrong, why? Because this is not Gzera L'Gzera. Do you follow that, Rav Osai? This is not Gzera L'Gzera. The Rabbanan asked Machat and they asked Karmelis. Each one of those two Gzeros the Rabbanan or Shmusim the Rabbanan were justified independently unto itself. Now there happens to be an overlap. That's exactly what we've been discussing about an overlap of shvus to shvus. Abaye is gerecht, because Abaye is telling us that unless you have a tzorech, shvus to shvus is also. It's gzera l'gzera. It's not gzera l'gzera, because gzera l'gzera means it's shalol tzorech. The second gzera is because the first gzera. There's no relationship here between karmelis and the machat of a chayat. It's purely coincidental that in this case the chayat wants to take his machat out to where? To a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. I'm sorry, to a Karmelis. Is my time a Sharin and Rava the Kaimel and Kavase de Rava? This is not one of the Al Kagams, my friends. This is a case where we pass like Rava, and the Chayat is allowed to take his needle out into a Karmelis. Samach l'chashech.
He's allowed to.
Despite the principle. Which that's the flag that Abaye is waving here of shvus to shvus. Shvus to shvus is awesome. Again, you and I know that shvus to shvus is mutter, because we always use it. Turn down the air conditioning in the shul on Shabbos because it's so hot. People are dying from heat, and it's l'sarach mitzvah. So we'll send a Filipino, to lower the air conditioning. And we'll tell the Filipino to do it in a way that would only be a shvus. So it's shvus to shvus of akavitzah, right? We use this all the time, right? I think we overuse it anyway. But shvus to shvus per se, if you remember this principle, you'll be okay with this. Rabbi Akiva Eiger is awesome. How could Rava be matir a chayat into a machat into a kabbalist? Shalom b'makom mitzvah. He's not sewing a beged, right? There's no mitzvah over here. You know, it's not like the kohen gadol needs a ketones or something. You know what I'm saying? And he's not doing it for the sake of a chola. So this is Rabbi Kivega's cash. Now, I both say the truth is I'm at fault here because I didn't get a chance to find Rabbi Kivega. Maybe Yechiel, you could find it. He says it's true for Rabbi Kivega siman chaf ches. But sometimes Rav Shecht, I find he's not so medayik when he tells you where to find something. Maybe he's in a rush, I don't know. So I can't guarantee you you'll find it in Siman Chaf Ches, especially since Tshuvas Rabbi Kivega is very complicated. There's Madura Basra, Madura Skama. But maybe you'll find it. I don't know, maybe do a word search here and you'll find it. So that's what we really should do. But if you don't mind relying right now on a secondary source, that's Ein L'dayin, and that's what I have in front. So it seems to me, and you'll judge me either correctly or maybe I'm making a big mistake, that Rabbi Kivega is making a revolution here. And he is telling you in this answer that there are tzvei didim of ein gozrin gzera l'gzera. That there's not just the ein gozrin gzera l'gzera that we're familiar with based on Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan, which straitjackets the hands of the Rabbanon when they want to enact a gzera, and they say, wait a minute, you're enacting a gzera because of another gzera? There's no heter litzorach in such a case. There's a whole nother din of gzera l'gzera. That's going to apply even if you have two gzeros independent, and you could justify each gzera, because in each case, the Rabbanu were afraid that you violate an Isu Doraisa. But there's an overlap. What do I mean by an overlap? Says Rabbi Kivega, again, this is Berzon talking. I have no idea if this is what Rabbi Kivega is saying, but I think that's what he's saying. This is not an overlap simply of coincidence, but this is a gzera l'gzera b'mitzius. If I could use the word befall. Again, Rabbi Kivega doesn't use that word, but I'm using the word befall. Remember we used that word befall when we spoke about Kivlev the Ravamina. Yeah. You know, sometimes it's a question of befall.
Yeah.
What happens in the following scenario, right now accepted as a theoretical case, and then we'll apply it in this particular situation. What happens if you have two independent gzeros? Each one is justified. You cannot throw tomatoes at the chachamim for enacting neither this gzera nor that gzera. Each gzera stands on its own two feet and is well justified as litzorach because of a chashash with orais. But what happens when they overlap in befa'al? What do I mean by befa'al? That we are worried about two different mistakes that he's going to make. You can have one chashash that'll do this, and then you have to add another chashash. Says Rabbi Kivega, in such a case, we're going to apply the principle of ein gozrin gzera l'gzera, but it's not the same ein gozrin gzera l'gzera that we spoke about before, because that was a problem of getting the rocket off the launching pad. You know, how did you establish that and enact that gzera? You had no heter to do so. These two gzeros are justified independently, respectively. But now you have a situation in which the only chashash to oraisa would be if you violate one gzera and then you violate the second gzera, meaning you make one mistake and then you make two mistakes. So take, for example, this case of a chayat, right? So what would lead him to a violation of a doraisa? You would have to assume then next week, he's going to take out his needle, or maybe even this week, right? Even after Chashecha. But so what? Where is he taking it? Into a Karmelis. You have to assume that he might take it into a Rishus HaRabin. Says Rabbi Kivega, that's called a Gzera L'Gzera as well. And herein lies the machlokas between Rava and Abaye. According to Abaye, there's such a thing called Shvus. Shvus is not a gzera. Now you and I might say, what does that mean, shvus is not gzera? Every shvus is a gzera, that's for sure. But nevertheless, sometimes the similarity between one action, which the Rabbanu want to aser, and the other action, which the Torah prohibit, is so similar, it's so close, it's so, the affinity is so powerful or profound, that what the Rabbanu are going to do is, they're going to say that this action is aser per se. And that's called a shvus. In other cases, the Rabbanu are going to say that if you do action A, you may mistakenly come to do action B. So let's take Abaye, for example. Abaye understood that al yotze chayat somach l'kashecha b'machat b'yodo, that's so similar to a malach of hotzah that the Rabbanu gave it a gespanka of a shvus. Carmelis is so similar to a Rishus HaRabin that's called a shvus. Abaye says name. I'm sorry, excuse me. Rava says name. Rava says that it's Erev Shabbos. The Chayat is going out with his needle on Erev Shabbos. That doesn't look like Hotzah to me. It's a Gzerah. Don't go out into a Carmelis. A Carmelis is a Gzerah. What do I mean by Gzerah? Means, you know, today he takes it out into a Carmelis. Tomorrow he may take it out into a Rishus HaRabin.
But it's Erev Shabbos.
Oh, says Rava. That's a Gzera Luzera. Why? Because you have to first of all tell me, well, maybe you'll take it out on Shabbos. And secondly, you have to tell me maybe you'll take it out on Rishus HaRabin. That's already too far fetched. This is a whole different kind of Gzera Luzera, Bosai. We're not talking about Litzora. We're not talking about a matir. All that beautiful, fancy terminology, if you accepted it, which I did, so you can fault me for that, all that is irrelevant at this point. Because Rabbi Kivega is making a breakthrough. A revolution is another type of Ein Gozer and Gzera L'Gzera. That's the type that Rav is going to utilize in the overlap between Chayat, Samach L'Chashecha, into a Karbalos. That's a different type of Gzera L'Gzera. That's a Gzera L'Gzera before. Has nothing to do with the original mati or the green light to give license to the Chachamim. These two Gzeras absolutely are justified. That's not Rava's issue. Rava's issue is, you're going to tell me he'll do X, and even if he'll do X, you have to tell me he'll do Y. So you have to premise two mistakes. A double error. That's called Ein Gozer in Gzera L'Gzera. Comes along Abaye, and Abaye says, name, we're not talking about Gzeros. We're talking about a whole new issue called Shvus. When it comes to Shvus, we don't make all these cheshbonos. A Shvus is asur per se. In and of itself, it's objectionable. Why? Because Chachamim said that this is called a malach. The title of this essay, which again we're looking at one out of I don't know how many pages are in the essay, but it's definitely more than 10 pages. So we're looking at 10% of the essay, if not a lot less than that, is Gzeros Derabanan and Malachos Derabanan. And when we see the word Shvus, we have to always raise the following question. What is that Shvus? Is it a real full-fledged bona fide shvus, which means it's a malacha derabbanan, or it's a gzera derabbanan? The nafkamina is when you pile one shvus onto the other. If you have an overlap of two shvusim befoal, then if you define those two shvusim as gzeros derabbanan, we're going to apply the principle of Ein Gozer gzera l'gzera. If you upgrade them to the level of a malacha derabbanan, then each one is aser per se. If the chayat takes out his machat, I don't care where he's taking it out, but it's Samach L'Chashecha, that is considered a violation of Malach D'Rabbanan. If he's doing it into a Carmelis, then carrying from Rishus HaYochin into a Carmelis is a violation of a Malach D'Rabbanan. That's who Shita? Abaye Shita. Rav Shita is name. We're afraid that you might do X. So the Rabbanan said, stay away from it, be Marchit. Okay, I'm Marchit. So what are you're telling me? No. If I'm not Marchit, I might confuse. Confuse it with what? With a Rishus HaRabim, he's going to get into a Carmelis. It's a double confusion.
What about it? Where's your
let me read it to you inside. Ayin Shuvah is, because again, everything I told you is Berzon, and Berzon makes up things. I mean, if you don't believe me, ask my wife. I'm constantly making up things. But let's see if I can convince you that this is what Rabbi Kivega meant. And then we can try to, you know, but there's a difference between attacking Berzon and attacking Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega was a pretty intelligent guy. You know, if you blow off Berzon, that's nothing. You know, you don't deserve a prize for that. So let me see if I can convince you that this is what Rabbi Kivega is trying to do here, to make sense out of Rava, we pass like Rava, that the Chayat is allowed to take his machet out into a carols. And what about the principle of Shvus to Shvus? He says the following. Hani mili when the Asrinan Shvus to Shvus. That's only Dafka Bebez Isure. The key word here is Molacha Derabanan. Inami Molacha Derabanan Ugzera Derabanan. That's interesting. Well, maybe we'll come back to that as a separate discussion. Shenitz Tarfu Bemikra Echad. So what you have is the overlap of two shvusim means the overlap of two malachos derabanan. By the way, Rabbi Kivega is of the opinion, not in this tshuva but in a different tshuva, that if a person is a mumar lechil Shabbos, he's a mumar lechol Torah kula. What's the status of a person who's a mumar to violate derabanans? You know about. About those who take on Rabbeinu Tam after Shabbos, so they say, "Oh, I'm makpid in Rabbeinu Tam, but only for Doraisis, you know, not for Darabonis." There is such a school of thought. So what I'm saying is, this guy says, "I will never chas v'shalom violate the Shabbos on a Doraisa level, but you give me all your Darabonis, I will violate all of them." Could be, by the way, he's an apikoros and therefore he's a mumar. But leaving that out, he's a mumar, says Rabbi Kivega mirabbanan, but only if he violates malachos derabbanan. If he violates gzeres derabbanan, he's not a mumar. Why? Because the whole din of mumars in Shabbos is based on a malacha. Someone who violates a malacha. So if he violates a malacha d'oraisa b'mezid, of course, he becomes a mumar l'kol Torah kula. If he violates a malacha derabbanan, the mirabbanan, he becomes a mumar l'kol Torah kula. But if he violates a gzera derabbanan, again, we'll give him, you know, the 39 makas maradis maybe, but he hasn't yet achieved that great status of being a mumar because he hasn't violated a malacha derabbanan. Now, this is at the end of a very long essay in which Rav Shechter, from the beginning to the end, assumes that there are two categories of derabbanans on Shabbos. There's gzeros derabbanan and there are malachas derabbanan. So one nafkamina is Rabbi Kivega's din of mumras. But now we have another nafkamina about the principle of shvus to shvus. Now we have to ask ourselves, is it gzera le gzera or is it malacha to malacha? Are you with me? So he says the following. That the mikresh and it's tarfu yachad, there's an overlap of shnei isuri gzera drabonon, afshakol achas mem nigzera bifnei atzma otu dorai. So each one is justified. So it's not a gzera le gzera from the perspective of our original definition. Vishum achas mehem lo nigzera machmas chashash al averos isur drabonon. In other words, each one of these two gzeros was instituted because of a fear of violating a doraisa. In our discussion, hotzah, whether it's karmelis, that's a gzera, or to rishus a rabbim and he'll violate a doraisa, or it's machat, which is samach hashecha, maybe he'll do it on mishach hashecha and he violates malacha doraisa. So we therefore don't have the original formulation of gzera l'gzera. Mikol makom, Kol mikre shel trei gzeros mutter. What does it mean trei gzeros is mutter? If we have to be afraid that you might violate this, and then we're afraid that if you do that, you might do that, that's also excluded on the trei gzeros. V'hainu tami de Rava. Because Rava holds that Isa Tiltil b'karmelis, who lo, it's not going to be a Torah's malach and rabbanon. It was never classified as such. Ela b'Torah's gzera. V'chein, hadlo yetzei achayit b'machto b'somach l'chashecha. That's not a molacha d'rabbanan, but rather a gzera d'rabbanan. And Rava is absolutely convinced, b'vadei d'havei yisuri gzera v'lo molachas d'rabbanan. So when do we say that shvus is also, that's only in two molachas d'rabbanan? But in two gzeras d'rabbanan that overlap, and again we're talking about befoal now, because we're not talking about the original restriction that each gzera is a gzera atu a gzera, but rather each gzera is atu a daraisa, so we can definitely justify both these gzeras. Rav is not denying the isa gzera of a machat or the isa gzera of what of a caramel is, but Rav is saying that when you have the overlap of the two, so what are the chances that it'll come to violate the daraisa? Well, you have to assume that it'll make one mistake, and now you have to assume it'll make a second boo-boo. That's already ain't goes in gzera l'gzera. I think Rav Kivega is breaking new ground over here. Says Rabbi Kivega, so what's the logic of Abaye? Abaye is going to operate with two shvusim. And two shvusim is already upgraded to a different level. That's called a malacha derabbanan, but Rava never accepted that. Rava said, there are malachas derabbanan, but these are not malachas derabbanan. These are gzeros derabbanan. And it's unbelievable because in the next paragraph, which is not for us, Rav Shechter wants to say, based on this Rabbi Kivega, that a person would be allowed to be metaltal in a caramel is the tzarchola. Why? Because we've proven now from Rabbi Kivega that tiltable caramels is not a malacha derabbanan, but it's only a gzera derabbanan. And when it comes to gzera derabbanan, we're matir litzarachola. But a shvus derabbanan, which is a malacha, that we would not be matir. So how do we classify and define tiltable caramels? We see from Rabbi Kivega that tiltable caramels is a gzera. Lo yetzei achayet, you know, erev Shabbos somach lechashecha, would also be a gzera. And that's why Rava says that if the Chayat wants to take it out into a caramel, he's allowed to do so. Why? Because that's already a gzera l'gzera. Because both of these two gzeros, once we downgrade them to the level of gzeros, then we can't overlap two gzeros, and not only that, we're allowed to be matir l'tzorach chol. Now, at the beginning of this article, which I may have with me, no, I probably left it home. Okay. So Rav Shechter has a list of four heterim in gzeros, b'makom chole. I didn't say that right. Let me say it again. Rav Shechter has a list. Again, he puts together many, many different sugyas in Masechet Shabbos, and he comes to the and in the poskim, and he comes to the conclusion in four different cases. I'll see if I can remember the four because I don't think I brought it in with me. In four different cases of Isurei Shabbos, we are matir b'mokom chole. So let's see if I can remember what they are. And now we can add tiltable caramels to the list. Because what's common to all these four is that they all are gzeros and not malachas. Mm-hmm. So what does he have? Let's see if I can remember. Oh. He's got mukta. Interesting. Mukta litzorach chole. Mutter. Again, you have to see the sugya. So don't go out of here with any misimpression. We're not paskining, but he has mukta litzorach chole, and he says that that's mutter because it's not a malacha derabbanan, but rather a gzera derabbanan. We're afraid that if he's going to start moving around mukta, he may do a malacha, whether it's hotzah, or maybe klisha malacha lisa might be a separate category, whatever it is. So that's mukta. Then he has Hashmas Kol, which means playing musical instruments. Mm-hmm. And it's a weird case, but he has a case where the music will somehow save the Kol. And I don't mean save literally, because we're talking about a Kol Shebo Sakana, but it's part of the medicinal process, and we're going to be allowed, we're going to be matir. Why? Because that's also Gzera, that he might be Metake and Klishir. What else? Okay, hopefully it'll come to me as we go along. But you're getting the flow of it, the feel of it. Yeah. Now, where do we define that a malacha derabbanan is asur b'makom chole? So this he has a sugya masechta ksuvos on daf samach. And the Gemara says that a newborn baby that's nursing from its mother is considered like a chole as far as nursing is concerned. Now, milking a cow is asur on Shabbos. Even for the sake of a baby. Now, how do I know that it's even for the sake of the baby? Because the Gemara says that for the sake of a baby on Shabbos, we're going to allow nursing. That's called gonech yonek mishtei imo. But not chaliva. So Tosis asks the following question. Chaliva of a cow. So Tosfos has asked the following question. What's the difference between nursing and chaliva of a cow. Why is it that nursing we're going to permit for the sake of the baby, that's called a chole, and milking a cow is going to be prohibited?
You have the baby there.
So wait, let me just point this out. So Tosis says the following. Let's just get Tosis, and then you can say Chidushim, but I just want to get Tosis now. Tosis says that there's a fundamental difference between milking a cow and nursing. Milking a cow is called a tolda of meleches mefarek kidarka. That's the normal way of mefarek. Masha enke nursing, where you use your mouth as opposed to your hands to get the milk out, that's called kilachariyat. So Tosis asks the following question. Tosis asks in Ksubas Daf Samach, I don't understand why we can't be matir milking a cow for the sake of the child. Why? And he asks the following. Rashi in Shabbos Daf Ayin Hei says that milking a cow is a told of dash. What does that mean? That's impossible. Why? Because we have a principle called Ein Disha Ela B'Gedulei Karka. Behemah is not Gedulei Karka. Last time we saw the animal doesn't grow from the ground. So there are some, the Magen Mishnah wants to say maybe a cow is considered Gedulei Karka because it eats the grass from the cow. I don't know. But anyway, we're going to assume now, like Tosfos, that a cow is not Gedulei Karka. So now he's milking the cow, and Rashi says that that's a told of dash. So Tosfos, but ain't Dishel Gedulei Karka? The answer is that this is an Isur Derabbanan of Chaliva Mishum Dash. This is not a Doraisa. It can't be a Doraisa because Ein Dishel B'Gedulei Karka. And Behemah is not Gedulei Karka. Fektosis, if that's the case, if you're dealing with a Derabbanan, because even in the worst case scenario, he milks a cow, that's only a violation of Mefarek Derabbanan. Why can't we be Matir for the sake of a baby? Why do we need Gonech Yonech? Why not just squeeze out the milk from the udder of the cow, feed the baby, mishum chole? And a drabbanan is also, it should be mutter, mishum chole. So Tosis answers, we can't be matir a drabbanan for the sake of a chole. But what we could be matir is nursing, because that's kilachar yat. So the question is obvious. What do you mean, nursing is kalachiyat? Okay, fine, nursing is kalachiyat. It's still asur. And if ein disha el b'gedulei karka, Tosfos says we can't allow milking a cow for the sake of a chola. So because the drabbanan can't be mutter for the sake of a chola, maybe shvus to shvus, but not one shvus. So then how are you going to allow kalachiyat in the case of Gonech Yonech Mishtei Ima? So the answer is, I don't remember exactly who says it right now, because I left the sefer at home, I think. The answer is that Kilachar Yad is a Gzera Derabbanon, but Ein Dishal B'Gedulei Karka is a Melacha Derabbanon. Do you remember we said that Derabbanon allow a Gzera for the sake of a chola? They will not allow violating a malacha d'rabbanan for the sake of a chola. Mefarek is a malacha d'oraisa. Why is it d'rabbanan here? Because ein disha el b'gedulei karka. The animal is not b'gedulei karka, but it's the same malacha. Meaning, this is mefarek. We have a technical exclusion or exemption, and that's called shelo b'gedulei karka. But here the rabbanan said, This is a meleches mefarek midrabbanan. That can't be mutter l'tzorech chol. Masha ein ken in the case of kelachar yad, that's not called a melech midrabbanan. That's called a gzeira midrabbanan. And the reason for that is because if the kelachar yad is so dramatic and so profound, meaning it's such a great shinui from the original melacha, that it doesn't even look like the malacha. Here, in the case of milking a cow, that is mefarek, and it's kedarka. Ella what? we got a problem. It's not Gedulei Karak. But in the case of nursing, that's such an unusual way of being mafarek that it's not even dome le malach. It's not even similar to malach. That's only exerit the rabbanon. And then afkaminis gilutzarachol. So we can only allow the baby to nurse. We can't allow squeezing the milk out of the udders of the cow. No, so far, so good.
No, we'll go back.
I mean, this is very exciting to
go back for a second to machat. So the machat is what, exerit or it's.
I don't know. Rabbi Kivega is explaining Rava, and he says it's only Gzeir the Rabban. It could be that Abaye holds it's a Malach the Rabban.
How possible be Malach?
I don't know. I didn't get to that point yet.
It's not Shabbos.
I'm only up to Rava now.
It's not Shabbos. It can't be Malach.
Right. Right. That's an interesting question. Like, for example, Kol Masha Avru Chachamu Asur Bein HaShmashos. Right? So what's Bein HaShmashos? I mean, let's say if I would convince you that in the rice it's not Shabbos, and yet the Rabbanan Asa Malach on Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShmashos, is that called a Malach in the Rabbanan? He's doing all 39 Malachas, but it's Bein HaShmashos. The Rabbanan Asa that. Again, I'm making a few assumptions. I don't think I'm trying to square with all the different shittas, but at least according to one school of thought, when the Rabbanan say Ben HaShmashos is also, that's only the Rabbanan. What is it? Is it a Malach of the Rabbanan? Well, it's Erev Shabbos, because Ben HaShmashos, according to this opinion, is not yet Shabbos.
It's Xera.
I don't know. You might say it's Xera, I might say it's a Malach. I mean, he does the exact same Malach, just it's 2 seconds before they blow the shofar. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
But Gozer is preventing you from doing
it. Okay, so again, Alan, just understand that what I want to know is am I steering you wrong in terms of Rav Kivega? Read it again.
Okay.
You know, again, don't rely on me. But read Rabbi Kivega inside, as he's quoted here, and Rabbi Kivega's goal is to try to justify the following two principles that are both accepted and codified la'alacha. One is that shvus to shvus is also, and number two, that Rav is right, and we pass in la'alacha, that chayat on a sabbath like a sheikh into a caramel is going to be muta.
Right, it should be Rabbi Kivega.
Oh, thank you. So then, if you take a look at the language of Rabbi Kivega, he's saying that Rava is matir. Why is Rava matir? Because Rava holds that Carmel is asur lo bibchinas melacha drabanon ela b'toras gzera v'chein lo yetzei achayit b'machtal. So you're a happy camper, and I'm a happy camper, but for two different reasons. I'm a happy camp because I say at least I understand Rava. You're an unhappy camp because you don't understand Abaye. But at least Rava, you know, that's Rabbi Kivega's goal is to explain Rava. Because how can we pass like Rava and allow the Chayat on Erev Shabbos into a Karmelus when we have a principle of Shvus to Shvus is also? So Rabbi Kivega's answer is that these two Isurim are a different level of a Shvus. It's a minus level of a Shvus, and you call it Xera.
But that's pretty understandable. Because Carmelus itself was a gzeira, because it was not us the Hapkila before the Chazal made a Carmelus. There was no Carmelus. It was not Rishus Arabin. You were not over on
right. This is so not Rishus Arabin.
So that's
according to Abaye, Carmelus is Rishus Arabin. Midr Rabbanan. The Rabbanan upgraded the status of a Carmelus. It's so similar to Rishus Arabin. They called it Rishus Arabin. It's not Rabbi Doshenbo, but it's there's enough of an open area here that's open to the public that define it as Dome Lirshus Arab. And maybe Sorokha Kashecha, according to Abaye, could be Dome. Or maybe it's enough if one of the two. You remember we skipped those words. Now let me ask you a question. Just give me a knee-jerk response. And here I'm hoping you to give me the wrong answer. Okay, so I want the wrong answer. Now that's going to be the right answer for me. In Isuri HaNoah, remember we were learning Pesachim, and we learned Daf Chaf Hei, this famous sugya of Isuri HaNoah. Were you here for that?
I think so.
Okay, so you can't play the fifth here. Okay, I'm quizzing you on what we learned, I don't know, maybe 3 months ago. I don't know how many months ago we finished Pesachim, and we learned the sugya of Isuri HaNoah. So let's say, for example, Arla. Arla is Isuri HaNoah. The Gemara says that you can take Arla and possibly Chelev and use it for, and it could be usable for medicinal purposes. Are we going to allow this for the sake of a Cholesh Ein Bo Sakon? So here's the question I want to ask you. We're talking about Isur Hanno. I'm going to give you two examples of Isur Hanno. One is going to be Doraisa, and the other is going to be Darabanan. And I'm going to ask you if we're going to allow violating the Hanah for the sake of a Chol. Chol Hashem Bo Sakana. Chol Hashem Bo Sakana, everything's Mutter, except for the big three, right? So what are my two examples? One example, let's say, will be Arla. Arla, let's say, again, I'm try not to catch me on the details here because I'm not interested in the details. Let's say Arla's Eretz Yisrael is Dorais. Let's say Arla's Chutz Laretz is Derabanan. That's not exactly true, but I'm just, again, Lisaber to Ozen. If you'll just, you'll come up with Chometz V'Shah Shishas. Well, whatever you'll come up with, Isurei Hanah Derabanan. Correct? So let me ask you the following question. Here's a cholet, and the cholet needs orla in this particular scenario, the orla that could be used for medicinal purposes. And you have to pask in the following shy. There are two choices in front of you. You can use orla doraisa, but use it in an unusual way.
Right.
Like the Gemara talks about chelav cham, you know, that's it'll burn your mouth or whatever it is. Or you can use arla derabanan. But kedarka, which would you pass? Can you hear the case? You have two choices in front of you. One is to apply arla doraisa with a shinui, shalo kedarka, kelachar yad. And the other is arla derabanan kedarka. What would be your knee-jerk response? Again, without thinking too much, you know, too deeply, you know.
Better to do it with the shin.
Really. I would have said, use the drabon. And the Ran says, in the last perek of Yuma, we use the doraisa. Why? Because it's shalo kedarka. And I want to suggest the following. There are two types of isuri drabon. One type of isuri drabonon is where the Rabbanon say, this is the Isur. In other words, the Rabbanon extended the Isur Torah. And that's going to be all of the Rabbanon. Let's say all is Chutzlar. So, Chamech V'Shashishis, whatever it is. The Rabbanon are saying, this is Arla. You can't use that Litzor Chol, because you're violating the Gufa Shal Isur. In Shalom Kedarka, what the Rabbanon are doing is they're saying that that's not a violation of Isur Anah. You're doing your Shalom Kedarka. That's not the Torah only asks the Isur Anah be Kedarka, but not Shalom Kedarka. That's not an Isur Arla. It's a Gzera. The Rabbanon are afraid that today you'll use Arla Shalom Kedarka, tomorrow you'll come to use a Kedarka. A Gzera, we can be Matir, B'mokum Choli. Did anybody follow what I said, or am I just talking to the wall?
Yes.
So in other words, what I'm suggesting is that when we talk about Isuri Derabanan, we have to be very careful, because on Shabbos, you can talk about Isuri Derabanan as Rabbi Kvega does under two different categories. You can talk about Exera Derabanan, you can talk about Molacha Derabanan. But I'm suggesting that, I set it off, I think you told me. Yeah, there's certain things that set off the thing.
Isur.
Okay. So wait a minute. But what about other Isurim, I have to whisper it. Not Shabbos. Here too, I want to differentiate between Gufo Shal Isur and Gzera. If you're talking about Gufo Shal Isur, for example, the Rabbanan said that Arl in Chutzarts is Asur, that's, you know, it's an Isur Anah like Arl in Eretz Yisrael. Just the only difference is this is the Rice and this is the Rabbanan. But when we give you Shmites in here, we're going to beat you up because you violated the Isur Arla.
Yeah.
Masha Enkein Shalom Kedarka, where there's a radical or a profound shinui, that's already a gzera. So the paradox here, but again, you didn't fall into my paradox, Yossi, but I fell into the paradox, is that we're going to be more inclined to be matir in Isur Doraisa, in the case of Kelachar Yad, than we would be for Arla's Chutzot, which is only Derabanan. And why? Because in the case of in the case of Shalom Kedarka, what we're saying is that it's not a violation of the Isur Arla, because it's Shalom Kedarka. It's like the case of Gonech Yonek, which is Shalom Kedarka in terms of Mefarek. That's only a separate Gzera. When do we upgrade it to a full-fledged Isur? That's if you're doing it Kedarka. So, for example, Arla Schutzlaret, which is only Derabanan, again, in my theoretical case, is an Isur Arla, albeit Derabanan. And when we talk about a Molacha like milking a cow, which is ein disha elabigduli karka, that's a malacha. You're doing a malachas mafarik, albeit the rabbanon, but it's a malacha. And Rabbi Kivayka is going to tell me that if you milk your cow once, twice, and thrice, you're a mumar min rabbanon because you're doing a malacha. I mean, to me, this like opens up new vistas over here, because what we're saying is that not all isurim derabbanan are of one ilk. You know, they don't all wear the same collar. They can be subdivided fundamentally into two different categories. One is the gufo shel isur, albeit derabbanan, and the other is the gzera. And this is going to have tremendous nafkaminas. Whether or not you can be matir b'makom chole, whether or not the principle of ein gozer gzera l'gzera will apply again. Which ein gozer gzera l'gzera? Not the original ein gozer gzera l'gzera of Rabbi Yitzchak Elkanan, but the second category of ein gozer gzera, where you have an overlap of two gzeros, and if we allow you to violate one and make a mistake, you might make a second mistake and come to a doraisa. That's already ein gozer gzera l'gzera. That's not going to apply in the case of a malacha derabbanan. Now, what do I want to lead to? What I really wanted to lead to is Shnai Moksa Vitalis, but we don't have time for that. I want to lead you to a Ramah at the beginning of Basa B'chol. The Ramah says that if you have Basa Behema, technically you're allowed to cook the Basa Behema B'cholah, but which cholah? Cholah Shkevi. You know, today I think it's very common, no? I think I have grandchildren that only drink chalav shkevim. But, says the Ramah, if you're going ahead and you're mixing chalav shkevim with basa behema, you've got to make a siman. You've got to put the shkevim on the table. Why? Because otherwise there's what's called maris ha'ayim. People look at chalav shkevim and it looks like chalav, looks like regular milk from an animal. And therefore you have to do a siman. Says the Ramah, but if it's basar oaf, and you want to cook basar oaf with cholav shkevim, it's mutter without a siman. There's no need for a siman. The iser derabbanan leka maris ayin, something to that effect. If we get a shulchan aruch, I'll show it to you in some. John, if you have trouble finding one, then mine is on the lowest shelf right here. If you drew it as straight as an arrow, right behind this door, it's a big black yoreday. You can bring that one. The advantage of that one is that I have some underlines there. So again, let's go over this. There's maris ayin atu edoraisa. That's the case of basar behema b'chol shkevim. And then there's maris ayin atu edurabanan in the case of basar of with chol shkevim. Says the Ramah, we're only worried about maris ayin atu in a case where it looks like you're violating a doraisa. But if it looks like you're violating a durabanan in the case of basar of, because we paskin like Rabbi Kiva that basar of is only durabanan, then we don't have to worry about maris ha'ayin.
Which siman is it?
Siman pei zayin. Thank you so much. Is this mine?
No, just like from the bottom shelf.
Then it's mine. Can I have it?
It's not pei zayin.
No. It's not pei zayin. It may be mine, but that's not the volume I need. All right.
But if you're only worried about maris ha'ayin, then what is the avera of maris ha'ayin?
I don't know. I do know, but I don't want to tell you.
Yeah, but I mean, is it
then I won't have the shear.
Is it exera because you're allowed to say lashon hara not in regard to that, or is it exera because you might think it's mutter and you'll perform it?
Excellent. Okay. Great, Alan. You're way ahead of me. Way ahead, as always. So let's just read to you the lashon of Rambam. The Rambam writes. Mutalasos Michalov Shkedim and Ichim Bala Basar Ov. Hoil the Eno Rak de Rabbana. A Basar Behema, Yeshla Nihetzal Acholov Shkedim. I'm sorry, Yeshla Nihetzal Acholov Kama Shkedim, Mishum Maris Ha'ayin.
That's a simon.
So you have to leave the Shkedim near this mixture if you have Basar Behema because of Maris Ha'ayin. But he allows you, in the case of Chol Shkedim with Basar Ov, since Pasar Off is only Drabbanon, you don't need this requirement of leaving the Shkeda there because there's no Marisahai. Now, if you look in the Shach, he writes the following: Aval Marshal, the Perikol Abbasar, Lomad Mihach Didag Dogim. Now, keep in mind, when the Torah prohibits Dam, that's only Dam Behema, not Dam Dogim. But there, the Gemara assumes that there is Marisahayim, that he might think that it's Dam Mamish. And we're talking about Dam Dogim. Anyway, to make a long story short, the Marshal says that Tarnagoles, Bechol of Shkedim, Asur, Ela im Meiniach Shkedim Etzlo, Bitsidom Lehekeru. In other words, even though Basar Of Bechol of is only Drabbanon, so that the onlooker is suspecting him of what? Of violating Basar Of Derabbanon. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, it's awesome. Like the case of Dam Dogim. I don't have time now. If you have time, please research this case of Dam Dogim. In any event, the Marshal says he has a source, a proof, that even in Maris Ayin Otu, a violation of a Derabbanon, it's awesome. And you need a Hekeru. So what's this all about? Now, I saw Shtikl Torah here in the name of the Rav from Rav Eliakim Krumbine. His approach, according to this transmission of the Rav, is what you were speaking about before, Alan. What is Maris Ayin? Does Maris Ayin mean that I might come to permit something that's Asur?
Or I might think that you do.
And that should apply even to a Drabbanon, or it's a matter of, you know, somebody might suspect me that I'm not careful about the halacha and my reputation, blah, 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 the Yisem Nikim, and that would only apply in a case of a Doraisa. So I'll believe that, I'll read to you the piece from Krumbine in just a minute. I wanted to go with another Mahalach. I wanted to suggest that what's going on here in the Machlokas between the Rambam and the Marshal is this distinction between two types of the Rabbanos. What is Basar Of Becholof, which again is only us to the Rabbanon? Is that a Gzera or is that Gufo Shel Isur? What did the Rabbanon actually, what was their goal? What did they want to enact here? What is it? Was it an expansion enactment, or is it a new category unto itself? What do I mean? Are the Rabbanon saying A, that Basar Of is also the same way Basar Behem is also? Min Rabbanon, the similarity is great, and therefore Basar Of is also Basar B'cholof. Or no, it's exil. We're afraid that if you do this, you might come to do this. If I allow you today to eat Basar Of B'cholof, tomorrow you can eat Basar Behem and B'cholof.
What would be the rationale of the first Mahalach? Why would Chazal feel this because it's similar?
That's what we're going to get to in just a minute when we get back to Alan's point before. But just in abstract terms, do you follow what I'm saying? Just like Rabbi Kivega says that we don't know if Lo Yetzei Chayit on Erev Shabbos Samach L'Shei, is that Xero? Is that upgraded to Gufo Shalisa? It's like he's violating Melechus Hotzah. It's a Melech HaDrabbana.
But the rationale is still, we don't want to be over there at the Raisa.
For sure. But I just want to know exactly.
The mechanics. It's the mechanics.
And again, I'm going to try to explain philosophically.
Spiritual.
Can I put my feet out here without disturbing you? No. That's for
sure.
I'm disturbing you.
I'm kicking.
But I want to ask you, Sam, the following. In this case, I would like to give, again, pardon the expression, but a philosophical explanation to answer Yechiel's question. Right now, we're at the level of mechanics, and Sam, you're right. But I want to take it a step further. It's not just a question of mechanics. Is it this or it's that? There are motivating reasons why I would say either X or Y, but let's just understand X or Y right now on a pure conceptual level. There are two ways that the Rabbanim could establish a gzera. Just like we spoke about Orla, right? So we said that Orla's chutz laretz is Orla. And that's the way the Rabbanim established it. That's the mechanics, as Sam would say. Mechanically, what they did was they said that if you violate Orla in chutz laretz, you're violating Orla, the Rabbanim. Or no. Let's say the case of Kelachar Yad. That's not Orla. Kelachar Yad is not... You didn't even benefit from it in the normal way that you benefit from it. But that's exerit. Today we'll allow you to do it Shalom Kedarka. Tomorrow you'll do it Kedarka. Remember that? And then after me is going to be Cholash Yesh Bo Sakon. Here too, in the case of Basarov B'Cholav, which way did they go? Do they want to expand the Issa because they said that Of is so similar to Basar that we should consider it as Basar? Like the Mishnah says, Kolad Basar, including Ov, which according to Rav Ashi is the Rabbanon. Well, no, it's just a Gzera. If it's a Gzera, you could be Mekel. A lot of Kulas we find in Gzeras. We spoke about Litzor Chola. Maybe there are other Kulas that we can come up with. I'm just giving one example. Why? Because it's only a Gzera. Or is it upgraded to a Gufa Shalisa?
I don't understand how they have the right to do it. I'm just missing the point. It's always to protect against the deraisa. So what's the difference? But they don't have the right to make.
I'll give you an example. Give you an example. The Brisker Rav has a discussion about chametz b'shach shishis and chametz b'shach hamishis, and he says the following: they're both the rabbanon, and the Gemara says you might make a mistake of 2 hours. That has to do with cloudy day and all that stuff. But he says, the Brisker Rav, that there's a fundamental difference between chametz in the sixth hour and chametz in the fifth hour. The sugya itself talks about being Mekadesh and Isha with chametz the Rabbanon. And what makes it the Rabbanon? Because it's it's Kodem Zmano, it's Shach HaMishis. Now, it says in the Mishnah that Shach HaMishis, you're not allowed to eat chametz. Says the Brisker Rav, that's not chametz. When the Rambam says that he was Mekadesh and Isha with Chametz Rabbanon, and the Rambam says in the sixth hour, he doesn't mention the fifth hour. Says the Brisker Rav that Chametz in the fifth hour is a Gzera. It's not Chametz. And he says in Afkamidis whether it's Asur Banna. Chametz in the sixth hour is Midrabbanon is Asur Banna. Like Chametz in the seventh hour. But Chametz in the fifth hour is Mutar Banna. What are you talking about? But in both cases, we're afraid that you're going to violate a Doraisa. So again, I'm not asking on a philosophical level. We'll come to that later. But just in terms of the mechanics of it, says the Brisker Rav, chametz in the sixth hour is chametz, with all the dinim of chametz, all the trimmings. If it's truma, we're going to burn it. Chametz in the fifth hour is a separate Easter. Now, I'm going out of my way to avoid the terminology he uses, because I don't want to insult Sam. And he calls it an Easter gamr, okay? I'm avoiding that like the plague. I'm saying that it's an Issa Gzera, but it's not a Cheftah Shel Chametz. What is the status of Basar Of B'Cholav? Is that Basar B'Cholav or it's a separate Gzera? It's not really Basar B'Cholav. Here's an Afkamina. Let's see if I can race against the clock. What would you say about a case where you cooked Of and milk, and then you took that mixture and you threw it into a second taromus. It fell into another taromus of heter. Do you need shishim against the entire mixture? You follow me? Maybe I'm not doing this a pedagogic job yet. There are two pots. There's pot number one and pot number two. That has nothing to do with cannabis here. We're not talking about the elections. Okay. So you have the first pot. And what do you do in the first pot? You cook milk with what?
Oof.
With chicken. Now, you take the entire mixture and pour it into a second pot. Do you need shishim against the entire volume of the first pot or only against the milk that was in the first pot? Anybody know what that's called?
Chaticha Nasas Nevela.
Excellent, Yosef. You're my man.
Chaticha Nasas Nevela.
In the yeshivas, they call it Chanan. So if you know anyone with the name Chanan, don't tell him this, because you don't want to tell him that his name sounds like Chaticha Nasas Nevela. So Chaticha Nasas Nevela applies. This is unquestionable. Nobody questions. This is the case of Basar B'chol, Basar Behema B'chol. Sure. So if I cook meat, literally meat, with milk, and now it falls into the second Taros, I need Shishim against the entire mixture. That's the famous Siman Kuf Hey. It's one of the most complicated Simanim in Yoredei if you're studying for Smicha. Yeah, you say the word Kuf Hey to a Smicha suit, he starts getting shudders.
Does it matter what's being cooked in the second pot? I'm not sure.
It's Heter. I don't know what it is. Let's not get into detail, but just, it's Heter, right? So now, can I be Mitzarif the Basar that he cooked in the first pot together with the Heter in the second pot against the Chalav? In the case of Basar B'chol, I can't do this. Says the Ritva, this is way before Reb Chaim, because Basar B'chol is a Chefta di Surah. That's the Lashon of the Ritva. So if you have a problem with that Lashon, write a letter of objection to the Ritva. This is way before Reb Chaim. And the Ritva says that the Basar, in the first pot, again, we're talking about real meat, Basar B'hema, becomes a Chefta di Surah. It's not that the bus is holding on to the Chalav as if it was Bolua. If you have Issa Bolua, then you don't apply Chanan. Chanan is a result of the fact that it comes a Chefzid Isura. What happens when he cooks milk in the first pot What happens when he cooks chicken in the first pot with milk, and then the contents of the first pot fall into Heter in the second pot? Do I use the Basar Oaf in this case to be Meshayah Meshishim together with the head to the second pot? Is it Isur Machas Bolua or is it Cheftzid Isura? That's Machlokes, says the Ramah, between the Rashba and the Rambam. The Rambam holds that in Basar Oaf we don't apply the principle of Chanan. And he has a beautiful raya to the Rambam, which is something called Chal. Have you ever heard of Chal? Chal is the udder of an animal that is completely saturated with milk. So he shechted the animal, and then he took out the chal, which is called in Hebrew a dal, and he cooked it with all its milk inside. That's also midin basar b'chol of derabbanan. Why? Because the oraisa, once it's shchuta, there's no isur chol. Again, you have to know more about basar b'chol for that. That's premature. We're not ready for that. So what happens if this chal, after you cooked it, which is basar b'chol derabbanan, falls into a second tarobes? So the Rambam writes that you can now be mitzarif the chal itself, meaning the basar, together with the heter, to be mishar b'shishim against the chalav. Why? Because the Rambam holds that basar b'chol of derabbanan is not a chefzid surah. And again, if the Brisker Rav was here, I have no doubt that he would say the following. It's an Issa Gavra. I will say it a little differently. I don't want to call it an Issa Gavra. I would say it's a Sefer Gzera. But it's not the real McCoy. It's not the original Basar B'chol. The Rabbanan could extend the original. We called the Tikkun Rabbanan, came to Rice and Tikkun with all the trimmings. But they didn't do so in the case of Basar B'chol. The Ramah therefore would assume that Basar Oaf B'chol as a Gzeira would not generate a Maris Ayin, because then you're having a Maris Ayin onto something which in itself is a Gzeira. Do you follow me? Just like in Gozu Gzeira, that one Gzeira doesn't have the authority, the power to generate another Gzeira, so too a Gzeira doesn't have the authority to generate a Maris Ayin. The Marshal might accept the Shitas HaRajba that there is Chaticha Nasis Nevela even in Basar B'chol of Derabbanan, and therefore Basar Oaf B'chol of would be a full-fledged Iser Basar B'chol of, and the Rabbanan gave it this stempel of Basar Oaf. Haraya, the Bach says that Basar Oaf B'chol of is Osir Ba'ano. Why? Simply because it's Basar B'chol of. On a Drabbanan level, it's Basar B'chol. Basar B'chol is also by Noah. The Rambam says that Basar Oaf B'chol is Mutter by Noah. Feed it to your dog. Because it's not a Chefzid Isura, according to the Rambam. If it's not a Chefzid Isura, then the Rabbanan said, we're afraid if you eat it tomorrow, you're going to eat it with me. But they didn't go as far as to say that now we have to apply and graft onto Basar Oaf B'chol of all the trimmings and all the regulations, all the Isurim of Basar Behema B'chol.
But then you said before, Ke'en Dioraisa Tikkun.
Yeah.
Right. So what I'm suggesting here is that there are two types of Kein Doraisa Tikkun. One type of Kein Doraisa Tikkun means the whole kitchen sink. And what we're doing is we're expanding the original Issa Doraisa to a Derabbanan case. Call it, it's very similar, and therefore the Rabbanan gave it the Geshpanka of that original Issa. That's Kein Doraisa Tikkun. The other way of saying it is, no, they have a Gzera here. It's not Basar Of. It's a separate Gzera. And if it's a separate Gzera, then we apply the rules that apply to Gzera. One of the rules that apply to Gzera is ain't goes to Gzera or Gzera. Another rule that applies to Gzera, that's the Rambam here at the beginning of Pei Zayin Hilchos, is that we don't apply Marasayin to Gzera. But when do we apply Marasayin to a, let's say for example you had a Marasayin or to a Malacha de Rabban. I'll give you an example. Let's take the case of, just give me a second here. Let's take the case of Meleches Kibbutz on Shabbos. So the Rabbanan Aser taking a wet garment on Shabbos and laying it out in the sun. Why? Because the onlooker thinks, why? How did it get wet? He doesn't know that it was wet on Erev Shabbos, it rained on Shabbos. He thinks that you just washed it in your washing machine, and that's why you took it out of the washing machine and you're putting it out in the sun. Right? They didn't have dryers in those days. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to do that because of Marisa Ayin. There, I understand. What the Rabbanan are doing is they're taking shtichas b'godim b'chama and they're giving it a level of a malach of the Rabbanan. Why? Because it looks like the last stage in kibbutz, if you follow what I mean. Mm-hmm. So, for example, let's say, what time is it? We have to end now? Mm-hmm. All right, so let's call it a morning for now. I think we accomplished a great deal. At least I'm excited about it. I still want to learn Bar Mitzvah with you. Haven't given up on that. I just don't know where we're going to fit it in. And that's it. I wish you good day.
Rabbi, yeah. Marshall has a special thing on his side.
You want to support the Marshall?
Yeah, the Marshall is going to say we define.
You're not excited about both Shaytan and Chicken.
The Rabbanan is going to define Basar's, including Basar Oak. The reason for that is because it says the Feirish in the Gemara came out of Basar, and what was the Basar was given was slav, right?
Right.
It was oak. And so there's a reason to assume that Basar Oak might be the same thing.
And the Chachamim, and that's according to Rabbi Yosef Mishnah, they hold